Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Shalom, this is Donald Crisp, and I am the lead pastor at the First Baptist Church of Smiths Falls, and it is my privilege to bring the good news message for today. This program is sponsored by the Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. Now think of it, today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is always wonderful to have God's people gather on God's day to hear God's word. Now may God bless our hearing of His message as we commit ourselves to listen with all of our hearts. My prayer today is that God will bless you, encourage you, challenge you, and comfort you. May God turn your heart and my heart toward home as He speaks to us and draws us near. My message today is entitled, The Art of Double Listening. The year was 1990 to 1991. The Gulf War. Three British soldiers were told were stumbling in the desert, separated from their troops. They realized that they were lost when they literally bumped into a four-star U.S. general. They asked the general, "Do you know where we are?" Upset with their lack of protocol and the absence of respect for his authority and the position, the general said, "Do you know who I am?" At this point, one of the English soldiers elbowed his buddy and murmured, "Now we're in deep trouble. We don't know where we are, and he doesn't know who he is." I tell you that story because I believe it applies to the church today. Many churches today are in that exact predicament. They have forgotten who they are, where they are, and where they are going. I personally believe that the church in Canada is in real trouble. Today, as we see the church struggle with her identity and her purpose. The fact is, many churches have lost their way. The church today seems to have forgotten that God has entrusted her with the mission to reach the world for Christ. The church today seems to have forgotten that God has sent her to deliver the wonderful message of grace, mercy, and love to a world that is dying to hear the good news. Folks, that's why Dr. Churchill and I bring the good news messages each Sunday on CFRA. Week after week, we have the privilege of presenting Jesus Christ to the listening audience, and that is possible because of your faithful and financial support of this radio ministry. God opens the door, and indeed with your faithfulness, together we're able to walk through it. I honestly believe that people today are looking for a message of hope, truth, and love. People today need to know that they matter to God. People today will surrender their lives to Christ once they hear and understand the message that brings good news into their lives. I truly believe this. I truly believe that people will surrender their all once they are introduced to the Lord of all, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ. Salas sings about that very theme when they sing, "All of Me." Let's listen to that now.
Holy Father, love me still. I have fallen from your will. I am broken. Hear my humble cry, my cry. Take my life.
Yes, the church today must learn how to relate to their culture in order to deliver God's message in a relevant and effective way. 1 Chronicles 12:32 reads this way, "The men of Issachar understood the times, and they knew what Israel shall do." You see, spiritual leaders of the church today must learn how to discern our times so that the church will know what to do and how to deliver God's timely message to a world in need of good news. The church has a mission of delivering the message, and we need to find out current and relevant ways of doing so. I bring to your attention today the profound words of British evangelist and theologian John R. Stott, who said that the church will do this by learning the art of double listening. Double listening. That is, having one ear listening to God's word and the other listening to God's world. As we look at the church today in North America, we see a church that is frustrated and in many cases out of step with culture, a church that is paralyzed and immobilized because she doesn't know what to do. Of course, I'm generalizing, but as I think as we do generalize, we can see this church even as we look upon this topic. So when in doubt, what does the church do? They adopt coping mechanisms, one of which is let's hunker in the bunker mentality until Jesus comes. I spent some time recently drawing up what I would consider a picture, once again, generalizing, but a picture of church people who need to be revived. And there are seven things I wrote down. Number one, this is a picture of those who have lost their first love. Secondly, this is a picture of those who don't meditate daily on God's word. They use God's word simply as a recipe book. Thirdly, this is a picture of those who pray only 9/11 prayers. Fourthly, they don't take sin seriously. Number five, they tolerate bad theology and immoral behavior. Number six, they're too comfortable with their history, tradition, and their good name, so their creed now is, so why change? And number seven, they have stopped depending on God and declaring that His word is the final authority. These people have become far too comfortable. Here's the prayer of one of the church members of one of these churches. Dear Lord, please leave me alone. Just let me sit here in my pew. And Lord, please guard my seat. Lord, you know that it's my seat. Please don't let anyone else sit in it. Please get me out of here quickly when the service ends, Lord, before some of these church fanatics try to recruit me to do something. Oh, Lord, help them to accept me and understand that I'm happy just the way I am. I'm happy just to show up each Sunday. Well, Lord, until next week, nice talking to you. Amen. Wow, this is a picture of being lethargic, apathetic, and indeed pathetic. This is a picture of clock watchers, clock-watching Christianettes who want only to come on Sundays to hear sermonettes. You know, it's time to learn the art of double listening. As John Stott suggests, we need to listen with one ear listening to God's word and the other listening to God's world. Therefore, with that in mind, I believe that the church's mission is to reach people with the gospel, to inform them that they matter to God, and to introduce them to Christ. We need to invite people to take God's outstretched hand and walk with Him on life's journey. Let's listen to Anne Murray and Tommy West singing, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee, Take My Hand, Lord Jesus." Jesus is my plea. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, God has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Who are we? Well, God says we're his ambassadors, his representatives, who are called to deliver the message of reconciliation to the people of the world. And as we do this, we are to remember it is as if God himself were making his appeal through us. Wow. Now that's a heavy responsibility for all of us. Therefore, we must learn to focus on delivering God's word. I better say that again, sorry. I'll go back to wow. Wow, that's a heavy responsibility for God's people. Therefore, we must remain focused to deliver God's message to the world. And we must do so before it's too late. When the history of Pearl Harbor was written, do you remember? It was entitled, At Dawn We Slept. Oh, I trust that will not be the legacy of the church. The church must wake up to this challenge. I personally want to recommend that my listeners read Gordon MacDonald's book, Who Stole My Church? This book will help us, all of us, in understanding how to listen to God's world or the culture that we're trying to reach for Christ. And as we learn to listen, we need to learn to listen, as Stott said, with one ear to our culture, and we need to learn to listen with one ear listening to God's world. Now, as I apply that principle, this is what I'm hearing. I hear them saying that the world is in a mess. But I also hear God's word say, when you mess up, fess up. I hear them saying that if there is a God, he doesn't seem to care enough to intervene and help. I hear God's word say, I am with you and will never leave you. I hear God's word say, I love you. And if you trust me, I'll work for you and help you clean up the mess. You remember the story of two turtles? One turtle says to the other turtle, look at the mess that the world's in. Why doesn't God do something about it? When I die and appear before God in heaven, that's what I'm going to ask him. Why didn't you do something? And turtle number one turns to turtle number two and he says, and when you stand before God, what are you going to say? And the turtle says to turtle number one, he says, you know what? That's, I'm afraid, what God's going to ask me. Why didn't you do something? The fact is, folks, we do not have a poverty problem. We do not have a hunger problem in this world, a food shortage. We have a greed problem. I hear the world saying that in spite of everything, they are still praying what I would call 9/11 prayers, wishing and hoping that someone is listening. I hear God's word say that he is listening, that God is wanting to listen to us all the time, not just when we are in red alert. God wants us to grow closer to him, to love him, trust him, and live for him. I hear God's word say that Christianity is not a religion, but it is a relationship with the God of the Bible who loves us so much. I hear them saying that the church is full of hypocrites, and I say, that's not true. We're not full yet. Okay, I'm just kidding. I hear God's word say, all are welcome, for all have sinned and all receive forgiveness when they come to Jesus Christ. I also hear them asking about love. I hear them asking about forgiveness. I hear them asking about who they can trust. I hear them asking about hope and truth. I also hear God's word declaring that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I hear God's word declaring that Jesus forgives us if only we would run into his arms. I hear the God's word declaring that Jesus is trustworthy and true. I hear God's word declaring that Jesus is our only hope, and he holds our future. Let me encourage you to pray with me right now. Father, by the power of your Spirit, give us spiritual ears to hear from you, from here, from your word, Father, and to hear from your world. Heavenly Father, we pray that right now that you would revive your church, and I pray, Father, that you would begin with me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Bring me to life and allow me to live that which I say I believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, as we've listened to that message for today, I also want to share with you that I've invited a special person, a good friend of mine, a pastor that I believe that can speak into the context of what we've been sharing today. His name is John McIntyre. He is the pastor of the Lanark Baptist Church. John, I'd like to welcome you to this program. John, could you share a little about yourself?
Well, Don, it's good to be here. And as you said, I do serve as pastor of Lanark Baptist Church. My wife, Karen, and I are originally from the Berwick, Finch, and Avonmore area. And we have four married daughters and nine grandchildren and have been serving at Lanark Baptist Church for almost 12 years now. Prior to that, we served 6 years at a church located in Merrifield, Saskatchewan.
Wow. John, I understand your faith journey began. You've kind of gone from farmer to pulpit. Can you give us a little bit of input on that journey?
Yes. Well, prior to entering the pastorate, we did operate a dairy farm for 16 years just outside the village of Avonmore. And it was a great life in many ways. Both Karen and I were active in the community and served for example, on the local fair board, we were active in the church and other community organizations. Was also involved in municipal politics, serving our township and on county council. And I enjoyed all these activities, but I often wondered if the things I was doing were the things I should be doing. The idea of serving in the ministry often came to mind. You know, Don, when you spend several hours a day on a tractor doing field work, you get lots of time to think. And it was during those times the question of ministry would often come to mind. In 1987, things did come to a head. We spent a week at a Christian retreat center in New York State, and while there, I was confronted with Christ's claim and call in my life. And so I guess you could say I submitted to that call that I had so often sensed, and when our family returned at the end of that week, we spread the word that I was going to sell the farm, enroll at a Bible college, and train for pastoral ministry. A year later, the farm sold. We moved our family to Saskatchewan to attend Briarcrest Bible College. And 4 years later, upon graduation, I was called to a church in the farming community of Merrifield, Saskatchewan. Then, 6 years after that, we were called here to the Baptist Church in Lanark.
You know, it's amazing. The Bible says, John, that the Lord leads and guides and provides. And sir, sounds like he's been leading and guiding and providing for you and your family. I've known you now for 12 years as a fellow pastor, as you are pastoring at the Lanark Baptist Church. You know, I think it's interesting as we look at your story, but also we want to hear about the ministry. We've heard about your call to the ministry. Could you share a little bit about your ministry in the village of Lanark?
Well, Don, pastoring the congregation of the Lanark Baptist Church is a great privilege. The congregation places a strong emphasis on Bible teaching. And another thing stands out as well. Early on, I discovered the congregation, while not real large and comprised mainly of older folks and people over 40, that the church had a heart for the young people in the community. And so a summer-long day camp was established at Providence Point Retreat Center at the edge of the village, just along the Clyde River. The day camp ministry has been in operation for 10 years now, and during that time, the children have not only enjoyed the activities the day camp provides, but most important, Several have come to faith in Jesus Christ as they hear the gospel through the Bible stories they learn. As well, people in the church saw a need for ministry to the youth of the community. And for a few years, we engaged a summer student to serve among the youth, but that proved inadequate. So we got together with the Metropolitan Bible Church here in Ottawa and arranged to participate in their youth intern training program. And through that, we were able to have Lyndon Jost come out to Lanark and minister with us for a year on a part-time basis. And when that year was over, he agreed to remain with us on an ongoing part-time youth ministry. He is entering his third year with us now, and we're excited to see the Lord working among the young people of the community and the community at large through his ministry.
You know, it's interesting as you thank you, John, for that update and that input. As you can see, as you spoke about the Met and you spoke about Lyndon and about what the church is seeing as way of a vision working with young people, I would believe also then it means that there are certain challenges that lie before you. And I'm wondering, John, if you could share a little bit about the challenges for this church, for you, on staying current and relevant in the 21st century. That's what I've been speaking about today in today's message. Could you share a little bit about that?
Well, I think one of the most difficult challenges facing any church today, and ours included, I suppose, is learning to minister from a different angle than the ones we've been accustomed to in the past. Now, when I'm saying this, I don't mean that we change the message or the truth of the gospel. The gospel alone is the power of God for salvation to those who believe. The gospel never changes, and really, neither does people's need of it change. But we as churches, however, need to change our methods of connecting people to that gospel. It used to be that most people attended church, but nowadays very few people come to church. Most don't know or even care about it. But many churches still maintain the ministry mindset that they had when people flocked through their doors. I think we need to realize that the people are not coming to our churches first, and since they aren't coming to us, we need to take the gospel out to them. We need to change our outdated notions about bringing people in through our doors and instead adopt a new mindset that compels us to take the gospel and go to them. That means going outside our buildings to share the good news with them. Isn't that what Jesus commanded us to do? Go into all the world. And so we have the day camp outside our doors. We have a youth worker on the street. And Lyndon has really helped us shift some of our thinking, I believe. For the past 3 years, we've hosted a community carnival, for example, in our community. It's a great time for everyone in the community, families in particular, to come to the carnival. They enjoy free rides there as often as they want to go on them. They hear bands play Christian music, and for a very nominal price, they can enjoy hot dogs, pop, hamburgers, and that sort of carnival food. We've also began hosting a dinner and a movie night in our church building the first Friday of each month. And that, too, is a time when families or anyone can come for a free meal and enjoy the movie following that. These are just a couple of ways that we're trying to adjust our mode of ministry for the times that we're living in. And we're getting to know more people in the community as a result. And hopefully it's a way to go to them and to share the Savior's love for them and over time get opportunities to share the gospel. And one of the other things we like to do as a church is to support ministries that share the gospel. And this radio ministry is one that the church has seen fit to help along. And so, Don, we'd like you to accept this check on our behalf.
John, thank you so much. Thank you for your church, and I thank you for, indeed, for your friendship. And we will continue to pray for you, for your wife Karen, and for Lyndon and the ministry at the Lanark Baptist. Thank you for being our guest today, and thank you for coming. And now, in conclusion, allow me to thank you for your open heart, your prayerful encouragement, and your God-led financial support of this radio ministry. You need to know that your faithful prayers and gracious giving empowers and enables this ministry to deliver God's good news message on the air. Dr. Churchill and I want to thank you for being part of our radio ministry team. The truth is, we can't do this without you. Let me encourage you and challenge you to make out a check payable to the Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. Mark the check, Good News Broadcast. We will send you a receipt at income tax time. Please encourage others to listen to this radio ministry. Also, you can find this and other programs of ours by Googling the Alan Churchill Christian Ministries. Click on Ministries, then on Broadcasting. Don't forget to worship in a church that proclaims Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and points you to the cross, a church that will equip you and encourage you to embrace our Lord's will for your life, a church that faithfully holds high the Bible and does not waver from the principles, precepts, and promises that are found within it. Father, we pray that you would inspire us and instruct us to live lives worthy of you. We pray that you would empower us to live for you, bringing honor and glory to your name. Now, as we conclude today's program, let's listen to Selah singing Through It All. And now may God bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May you live with courage, faith, and love. May you be grace agents for Christ in a world that hungers for truth, hope, and love. Amen.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation. Let my trials only come to make me strong. I've been a lot of places and I've seen so many faces, but there have been times I've felt so all alone. But in that lonely hour, in that precious lonely hour, Jesus let me know I was his own. And oh, it was
through it all. If I never had a problem, wouldn't know that he could solve them, wouldn't know what faith in his word could do. That's the reason I say that through it all.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.